You are going to notice a little something different around here today. Well, today is a special episode because recently I was interviewed by the K-Love radio station. It is a nationally recognized Christian radio station, and I had the honor of being interviewed for one of their segments called Positive People that was actually aired locally here in the Pittsburgh, PA area. In this interview, I really talk about walking through pain. That is the general theme that you are going to see her asking me. I talk about walking through my own pain. I talk about holding pain because we need to be able to walk through our pain, but hold our pain. So really, it's both and here. I'm really excited for you to listen to this interview, and I pray that you will be encouraged to not run away from the things that feel hard, to not run away from the pain that you feel. I want you to know that as a woman, your feelings matter, and expressing them doesn't make you emotional. You're going to notice her start off right off the bat about what I do and that I am a Christian mental health coach. And what's really important to me is to recognize and share that life doesn't have to feel this hard. And I truly believe that with the right support, you can break free from negative thought patterns and really silence your inner critic. So you can go to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching to book your free 20-minute consult today. Now let's go ahead and get to this interview. Hey friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back.
This is Tala Shatara with K-Love. I'm so excited because we are chatting with a local positive people story. We are talking with Miss Jessica Hoddle. She's an author, a public speaker, a podcast host, and a mental and physical health coach who is ready and able to help you walk through your journey with Christ alongside anything that you might be going through. So we are so fortunate to talk to her today about the work that she does, her background, and how she really can help you. So Jessica, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, of course. We're so happy to talk to you. Your work is very fascinating, right? So we are not talking about counseling. We're talking about coaching. And this is something that is a little bit more different. Can you take me through what a certified Christian life coach is?
Yeah, we often focus on the present and the future, where sometimes as counseling, sometimes it's more focused on the past. And so as a mental health coach and trauma-informed coach, I help a lot of my clients get unstuck, have breakthrough. Even though I'm trauma-informed, we still address root issues in the past, but we are definitely focused more on the present and the future of where they want to go and who they want to become.
And, you know, obviously, within the title, Certified Christian Life Coach, tell me how religion and Christianity plays a part and a role in what you do.
It really is everything, because when my clients come to me for something specific, whether it's something they're struggling with or wrestling through, it's the foundational question that we often spend many hours working through of, who do I believe God is? Because we will live according to the most dominant belief that we have about God. So if we believe that God is angry at us all the time or disappointed, we will live disappointed and angry, just feeling like we're never good enough. And so we have to kind of take a step back and examine, what do I believe about God and what do I think he believes about me?
Oh, I really love that. Yeah. I mean, obviously going to the root of, you know, a lot of the trials that we face and finding out, what does this mean in the grand scheme of things? And what does this mean to God? And I really love that you said that. Now, take me through some of the, you know, maybe the problems and the struggles that people are working with. What do you often see in your work?
Yeah, great question. I think it's a combination, but the root is this separation of pain and God. We think that God just wants us to suffer and always be in pain, or we have a hard time reconciling God in pain. If God is so good, then why am I in pain? Or why did this happen to me? Or why did somebody I love die so soon? And we will spend a lot of time reconciling these two worlds together of that message. You know, if God loves me and I'm his daughter and he's good, then why am I in so much pain?
What do you typically say to those people that ask that very question? I mean, I have to ask. I mean, you kind of hold the secret, almost the secret sauce to that yeah. that question. Yeah. What do you think that is?
I think a lot of it is the image of God has been shaped by people, and God hasn't allowed him to. Let me rephrase this. We haven't allowed God to speak for himself to us. We have allowed people to determine who God is. That's really one of the biggest roots of it, is how I treat somebody or these image bearers, right? Because if we're image bearers walking around, then we're representation of God. And if these people are representation of God and they're acting this way, then why would I want to know this God? And so that's been the biggest piece of that reconciliation of, God is God apart from his people. Like, yes, we are his body, but God will speak to us on his behalf and show us who he is. And that's kind of where we have to reconcile those two. It's a lot of both and scenarios here.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. And I'm really just hearing also a lot of misguidance. A lot of people are walking around and feeling very misguided and taking what they see out in the world and misinterpreting it as maybe what God wants. And that's not true. And what you're doing is you're allowing them to rewire their brain and rewire how they think and their story into what is actually happening in their life.
Yes, absolutely. And it's giving them permission to carry that both and, because a lot of us have all or nothing thinking, or we have been so down and out and not feeling good enough. So we internalize it and make everything mean something about us. And so it's really giving them the space to carry, I'm kind of angry at God, but I also know that he loves me. It's kind of this, we don't have to choose between sadness or grief and joy, I should say. We often carry them both at the same time. And it's allowing them to have that space to say, I'm disappointed that this didn't turn out, as they walk through it, instead of saying and quoting scriptures over them. I always say we often use scriptures as a band-aid, where somebody's in pain and we're like, you know, God works things all together for good. And that doesn't really solve anything. It actually leaves people more in pain or confused. If, you know, somebody lost their child or somebody had an affair in their marriage, that doesn't really sound good to say, well, God has a plan and everything works together for good. It's, well, why would God want my husband to have an affair if everything works together for good, and, you know, all of these things. And so it's allowing them to have space to say, here's what the actual truth is, but here's the truth that I've experienced.
I really love hearing all this, because I do feel that we go through life, and whenever we tell someone that we're struggling, we just hear, oh, that's in God's plan. Or we hear a recite of a Bible verse, and then we are left more confused, possibly even angry at that person, of just like, why are you not understanding me? And I completely agree with you that there is a little bit of misinterpretation of what that could mean. And it really takes someone like you to really break it down, because the Bible is not an easy read. Mm-hmm. Like anyone that says yeah, that is
for sure
definitely needs to be like a scholar of some sort. Mm-hmm. But it's not an easy read. So when we're hearing people obviously try to break it down and really make it understandable and comprehensible and parallel it to the life and the struggles that we're going through, we can see it a lot more clearly. You talk a lot about God and you have such a wonderful relationship with him. I can already tell, but it's somewhat new and you found God at 22 years old. Will you take me through that time of, you know, what happened and really how you got to where you are today?
For me personally, it really definitely started back when I was a child, and I say even into my mother's womb. You know, my dad was an alcoholic and a smoker and all of those things. And my mom was more of the emotional side of the abuse and my dad was more of the physical. And so I did witness a lot of things in my home. And then I turned to men at a very young age to deal with the pain. And my brother turned to more of the alcohol, drugs kind of way of dealing with pain. And so, you know, now as an adult, I can see both of my parents' pain though, and how that impacted us and growing up and, you know, and just having nothing and being poor and really trying to figure out who I was. And of course, I had so many insecurities. And my mom had grew up in a very religious home. And so she said, you know, one day, like, I don't want you to ever have to deal with that. But that left me more confused. You know, I would hear people say, and when I was in high school, you know, I'm a Christian or I'm Catholic. And I was like, well, what am I? And I never knew what I was. And I was told for most of my life that nobody really loved me or cared about me. And so I spent this time just, you know, well, if nobody is going to do it, then it has to be me, you know? And so I kind of was in this self-preservation mode. And slowly my one cousin had come into my life and she told me about Jesus. And then we used to ride bikes for me for like 18 miles, you know, and that's kind of, we would grow the relationship. And so she introduced me and I accepted Jesus as my savior at 22, but you know, my life didn't really change right away. I wasn't somebody that was necessarily on fire, as in my behavior changed. You know, I was still having sex outside of marriage. I was living with a guy at the time. I was saying all kinds of not very kind words out of my mouth. And so it was a very slow redemption for me and kind of this healing process. But once I just really allowed the Lord to come in, he just started cleaning up shop. And something that I like to say is that he really loved the hell out of me. The things that were in my heart, the pain, the resentment, the bitterness, the anger that I had toward my parents, he really just started to come in and wipe it away. And that's really kind of what led me to helping the clients that I do, because I went through an eating disorder, body dysmorphia, all kinds of different things in my life. And so I like to tell my clients that, you know, your sin doesn't scare me.
Let me just tell you, Jessica, I hear a lot of conviction stories and they're all moving. I mean, they all have their own platform and righteousness and greatness. However, I just have to tell you, whenever I hear someone make their mess their message, it is so moving and it really shows the character of that person, because you said it best. You were in self-preservation mode. A lot of people, far too many people, are really kind of becoming very submissive to the world that it is, to how people treat them, to the trials that they've gone through, to the households they were brought up in. And they just believe that that's all that they were destined to have. And that's what they were destined to be. And you really said, not me, not me. And I love hearing that. I mean, self-preservation it's honestly, it is the air and the gust that God gives us underneath our wings, because we know that he is the one that pushes us to self-preserve, right? It's our faith and our trust in God that life is going to be okay and that we do deserve a beautiful life. We don't need to just survive. We deserve to thrive. And I feel that that is something that you had to walk through. And I love that that also makes you more in tune to handle and walk with a lot of the struggles your clients face.
Yes, it's definitely helped. I mean, so many different scenarios. And I was estranged for my mom for 14 years. And my dad and I, we have reconciled to degrees, and we both kind of, I think, just had to set each other free, and, you know, more recently. And so I came back into my mom's life because she is on hospice right now. And this wasn't any kind of reconciliation story. She still has anger and bitterness in her heart towards me, but this was more of God's doing and work in my life to be able to now even help clients who have been estranged from their parents, even if they're in their 60s, carrying anger toward their parents. It's really the Lord's kindness to say, we don't have to carry it. And something else I like to tell my clients is that pain is a place of visitation, not a place of habitation. We often use suffering in the Bible kind of as this marker of, well, I'm just supposed to suffer because scripture says that. And that is true. We go through suffering. A lot of it is in the name of God, but we also experience things in this world. But I don't believe that God is just saying, yeah, let's just suffer every single day of our life. And that's where we call it happy phobia, where we become afraid to be happy. Because if suffering is just what we're called to, then why should I even try to be happy or have joy? And so that's something that working through my clients of seeing that life is always going to be up and down. We're going to be in pain and we're going to have joy, and to help them learn to carry those things both in hand so that they don't become so hardened in their heart where when pain comes again, it's, oh, here's pain again. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. God must not care. But help them to continually move through the pain so it doesn't get stuck in their bodies.
You're right, because it can get very much stuck in your body and become a routine and become second nature to you. That you're right. Happy phobia is a real thing. I cannot tell you how many times I'm like, I'm so happy. And then I'm like, oh no, wait a second. What's about to happen? You know, did I say it out loud? Did I spook someone? Not a fun feeling. And I think it is so real that a lot of people do go through that. And I imagine that a lot of this comes out in your podcast, Untangle Your Thoughts. Tell me a little bit about the pod.
Yeah, it's had so many makeovers, I guess you could say, over the years. But the Lord really landed me on it this year of Untangling Your Thoughts, because I've been helping women kind of face off with their feelings for a while, because for depending on the generation you grew up in, is we don't talk about feelings, to now generation where I am what I feel, where all the feelings are present. And so helping each generation get back to kind of where they are, but how they grew up, and then being able to process through that, whether it's too many emotions or I was never allowed to have emotions. And so Untangle Your Thoughts, I try to help them get different perspectives of their normal everyday thinking, whether it's people pleasing or, you know, walking through that pain of reconciliation in God. And it's really about helping them untangle that. So the image I like to use is like a strand of Christmas lights. Okay, we know that box that we have of Christmas lights where it has probably 6 strands probably thrown in a box. And you have to take up the box or take out the, you know, strands of lights, and you have to one by one start to untangle them. And I like to say that each strand of Christmas light is a train of thought. And so that's why we get overwhelmed or we feel anxious, because all of these thoughts are tangled together. And so I like to help my clients and even talk through this on the podcast of untangling that, to give them that image of sometimes it's going to take some while, you know, it's going to take some time to untangle those Christmas lights, just as much as it is going to untangle your thoughts as well.
And I like that you used Christmas lights as sort of an analogy, because I keep thinking about when we do untangle it, how beautiful it is when the lights are on and they're all, you know, untangled and they're just sitting so pretty and neatly and nice on our trees or on our mantles or outside. And I think that's a good way of thinking about it. I like the analogy right there. And you kind of hinted a little bit about, you know, just some of the women that, you know, would be the perfect person to approach you and say, I can't do this alone. I need help. What would you say to someone who's listening who might not be sure if this is right for them?
I think more than anything, you probably have felt called to take a step, but it's that courage in you that's it that you need to be able to take that next step, because we've probably been beaten down for so long to believe that you're not worth it, or you can't change, or you're not good enough. And we just need the courage and the nudge of the Holy Spirit to just take that next step. And that's typically when I get on consultations, is that what, that's what people tell me is, man, it took me everything to sometimes fill out this form. And I get that. It's saying that I need help, because I know men deal with this, but women, we really deal with this of, we're just going to do it all and we're going to do it ourselves. And so to ask for help feels like almost it takes away from us and this kind of narrative that we've said. And so really it's just saying, I need help. And this form of humility, what I like to say is, it takes humility to wash somebody's feet, but it also takes humility to receive your feet to get washed as well.
You're right. And asking for help really is like 99.9% of the challenge. It really is. That is a hard part to come to recognize and to accept. A lot of people don't. And I agree that it is definitely, it comes from a place of just like, I think I can take care of it myself. And I'm fine. Don't worry. Like, we've all done that. So obviously, you've given me a good enough reason to give you a call when I need help. Where and how do people need to go to get in touch with you, Jessica?
I think the easiest way is just going to my website at jessicahoddle.com. I'm Jessica Hoddle everywhere on social media too. So it's really easy to find. Just Google Jessica Hoddle and typically I'll pop up, and the podcast is Untangle Your Thoughts.
I love it. Jessica Hoddle, one last time, author, public speaker, podcast host, and mental and physical health coach who is helping women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives and doing it through a biblical step-by-step process. I really love it. So Jessica, thank you so much again for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life, and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.